Well, greetings, friends, and welcome to the Basic Gospel Radio Program. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we are here every weekday to serve you, our Basic Gospel listeners, and we want to hear from you. We want to know what's on your mind today, if it's a Bible passage or maybe some personal issue you're facing. Whatever the question or the circumstance, we'd like to talk about it with you right now, so the phone lines are open for you at 844-322-2742 in both the U.S. and Canada. Whatever the question, whatever the issue, we invite your calls. But call now, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about God without religion, how to really experience this relationship that we know as Christianity. And that's what differentiates Christianity from every other religion. Religion is really man's efforts to reach up to God. Christianity is the complete opposite. It's God taking the initiative to reach out to us through his love and grace, and to save us and to invite us into a relationship with him.
Right.
So we are a part of a relationship, and the blood of Jesus Christ is what gives us the confidence to draw near. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that opened up that way so that we could experience new life and this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when sin entered our world so many years ago in the garden, it forced man to start reaching up to God, trying to figure out ways to appease God. And that's where religion, or man-made religion, actually had its birth, was right there in the garden. The first religious act was Adam and Eve sowing fig leaves to cover over their nakedness, their shame, their fear, and tried to keep God from punishing them, because they knew that was at hand. And I think that just started a long history of religious practices, and we see it in every corner of the world. Man
right.
trying to figure out a way to draw near to God, man trying to figure out a way to cover their own nakedness, their own shame, and their own guilt. That's what religion is all about. And that's why none of those religious activities can ever please God, can ever enable us to climb that ladder and draw near to God. Why? Because they're born out of sin. Adam and Eve ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They sinned. That's what that act is. They rebelled against God. They believed the lie of Satan. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie of Satan. They partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They sinned, and then they died spiritually. So out of that sin, they thought of something to do to appease God. They sewed fig leaves together. So that act was a sinful act. Why? Because it was motivated by their sin to rebel against God.
Yeah.
So that will never please God. That will never satisfy him. That's why we have to trust and have to turn to Jesus. As we talked about yesterday, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you're doing something that is born out of sin, that is motivated by your own fear, shame, and guilt, you're doing something that is what the Bible calls human effort,
yeah,
or man-made religion. That's never going to satisfy God. The only way to satisfy God is to trust what God has done for us. So back in the garden, man tried to cover himself. God did something else. God took an animal, sacrificed the animal, and took the skins and covered Adam and Eve in a way that was appropriate, in a way that was necessary. That tells us that God is going to take the initiative, that God is going to do something to take away our fear, to take away our shame, and to replace it with his righteousness. The only way that we experience that is through faith. The mind on the flesh is hostile to God. The person in the flesh can never please God. Why? Because sin's in charge.
Yep.
Sin is in charge of that guy. But when we turn to Jesus and receive him through faith, by grace through faith, we are no longer in the flesh. We're in the spirit. We have a new way of life. That new way of life is faith, and that faith pleases God.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for those thoughts, Bob. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We have open lines for you, as we always do at this time of day. That number, 844-322-2742, is good in the U.S. and Canada. We'd love to hear from you on this edition, so come on and be a part of it at 844-322-2742. And friends, remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry. It's because you give that others might hear, believe, and live in the eternal truth of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So all of you who give to Basic Gospel, we say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And when you make a gift, as Bob mentioned earlier on the broadcast, be sure to request your copy of Andrew Farley's excellent book called God Without Religion. It's our way of giving back to you for your gift of support for the message of grace that you hear every day on Basic Gospel. Donate anytime at basicgospel.net. Just click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Well, once again, the phone number, it's wide open for you right now at 844-322-2742. And in the meantime, Bob, this very interesting question came in overnight.
Yes, I just had this question. Is it a sin for the husband to dress up like a woman and for the wife to dress up like a man? Same household, they're married. And if it is it biblical? And could you expound on that for us? Thank you. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
Well, I don't know that I've ever heard that question asked. Always a first time. Yes, yes, indeed. But the Bible does speak to that. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 22, this is a new discussion about the law, kind of Moses kind of going over everything again. And here in verse 5 of chapter 22, he says this: a woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. Now, what this is talking about really is the cross-dressing that you have asked about. And what happens when we do that? Well, we're trying to present oneself as something that we're not, and that's called a lie. That's being hypocritical, and God's never in favor of that. God wants us to live the truth of who we are. That's why we have so much confusion in the world today, is because people don't want to accept the truth of who they are, what their biology is. You can dig up bones, and when you dig up bones and try to figure out if that bone came from a male or a female, you can figure that out. And it's only two choices. It's a binary choice. It's either male or female. Well, that's the biology. That's how God created us, male and female. And when we learn to live that truth, to accept that truth, then it gives us some confidence to really figure out who we are and to live out who we are as human beings. So this cross-dressing, now this isn't saying women can't wear slacks or pants or that sort of thing. That's not what this passage is all about. It's about a woman putting forth an image that she's a man, or a man putting forth the image that he's a woman.
Right.
That's what this passage is all about. And in doing so, you are going against the very truth of who you are. Mm-hmm. So that's why God says that's an abomination, and it gets down to being an abomination because it's a deception. You're trying to deceive yourself, and you're putting forth a picture that belies the reality of who you are as a human being.
Yes, indeed. Well, we hope that this caller got the answer. And if that's not the answer you were looking for, well, call us back. We'll give it to you again, I guess. Well, again, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And, Bob, we had another strange question by email. This is from someone who wrote to us from Carrollton, as a matter of fact. It says, in England, Doctors have been banned from calling pregnant patients mothers. Official guidelines issued by the British Medical Association say mothers-to-be should be referred to as pregnant people. The move aims to avoid offending and alienating transgender parents. Your thoughts, please.
Well, again, it's all about confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Yeah. And only a female can bear children, and we've been calling them mothers since the very beginning of time. So why mess up a good thing? So I think it's crazy that culture is bending to all these moral decays that we're seeing in society and have been seeing for so long. And one of the most disheartening parts and one of the consequences, it's dehumanizing people. When we change the phrase from mother to pregnant person or whatever it was, we're dehumanizing that person.
Yes.
So I think calling the mother brings the humanity back into the picture and really, again, speaks to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
God is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's just be truthful and call things for what they are.
Yes, indeed. Well, we appreciate hearing from Bob, and thank you for that question. Question from Johnny, who is a viewer on Facebook. Bob, he says, you know what God says about marriage and divorce. Well, I got a divorce and remarried, he says. That means that I'm committing adultery, right? Will God forgive me for this if I repent?
Well, there's the cross of Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So if you've never turned to Christ and received him through faith, by grace through faith, then you're lost. And if you're lost, you're under the condemnation of the law. You're dead spiritually, as Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2. You're dead in trespasses and sins. Well, if that's the case, if that's your spiritual state right now, there's only one solution, and that solution is to receive Christ by grace through faith. When you do, you cross over from death to life. As Paul writes in that Ephesians passage, he makes you alive together with Christ. Now, he places you into Christ as well, and in Christ you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus took that sin, he dealt with it 2,000 years ago, he paid the price so that you could experience eternal life. So if you're in Christ, you are a forgiven person, and God is never going to call you a sinner. He's never going to call you an adulterer. As a person who is in Christ, he's going to call you what you are, a child of God, a saint by calling. Now, have you received Christ? If so, be joyful. Know that sin is in the past. God remembers it no more. He's not going to dredge it up and keep putting it in front of you and making you feel guilty over it. That's what religion does, but God doesn't. Why? Because he's a God of grace and mercy and forgiveness. And in this new covenant that you and I live in, God says that he remembers our sins no more. So you need to start aligning your mind with what God has to say. So as far as your divorce and remarriage, that's happened. God has dealt with that in Christ. Rejoice that you have a new life in him, if indeed you have that new life. If not, let today be the day that you receive the Lord. And rejoice that he forgave that, and now you can experience new life in Christ.
Very good. Thanks, Bob, for that. And friends, we have open lines for you at 844-322-2742. We want you to be a part of the live broadcast today. If you have a question for the Bible, if you have some personal issue you may be dealing with, this is a great opportunity to speak directly with us right now at 844-322-2742. 1-800-662-4242. And Bob, as you well know, we're only 2 days away from the start of the United Bible Conference. And friends, if you haven't registered, if you're not planning to be there, well, I assure you, you're going to be missing something very special as Bob and Andrew, two of God's very best messengers of His grace in Jesus Christ, unite for this final conference for those of us here at Basic Gospel. So folks, we want you to be there. We want to see you. We want you to meet us if you haven't, and I know that'll be a treat. But we hope that you'll log into the Basic Gospel, website for the United Conference. It's basicgospel.net/united. Get registered for the conference starting this Friday, just 2 days from today. Again, register at basicgospel.net/united.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have this question coming in to us from Antonio, who's watching us through our YouTube video stream, and he says this question, is it proper to celebrate the Lord's Supper outside of a church setting? Well, I think when the saints of old, those first century Christians, celebrated the Lord's Supper, it was probably in homes. So it wasn't necessarily in a formal church setting. So yes, it is proper to celebrate the Lord's Supper anywhere you want to celebrate it. The Bible doesn't give us a prescription on where that needs to take place.
Right.
But this is something that we saints celebrate, and every time we do, whether it's in a church setting, whether it's in a home setting, whether it's in some other setting, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. We celebrate the fact that we are all joined together in this body called the church, and that as believers, we live in a new covenant. We celebrate the fact that God remembers our sins no more. So wherever we want to celebrate that, remember to honor the body of Christ, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Do it in remembrance of Him. And in doing it in remembrance of Him, you're going to be proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes.
Antonio, good to hear from you. Thanks for that question. Very good question. And we encourage you to leave us a voicemail if you can't get to us during the live broadcast. That voicemail system has been very, very good in getting your messages to us, and we love hearing from you. Again, you can do that. That same number, 844-322-2742, that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And Bob, we had this question from James. He says, I've listened many times to you talk about 1 John 1:9. He says, my current church seems to follow the idea that my confession of sin will get my sins forgiven, which seems to throw out the once and for all work Jesus did on the cross. What is the proper way to understand 1 John 1:9?
Well, let's start with a passage out of the book of Hebrews 9:22. And this is a passage everybody needs to underline. Everybody needs to know what this particular verse has to say. And it is this: without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So there's only one thing that can provide forgiveness, and that is blood. Blood that has been poured out through death. And the one who has poured out His blood through death is Jesus Christ Himself. So He shed His blood one time 2,000 years ago. And when we receive Him, we receive that forgiveness that He provided. So there's only one way to receive forgiveness, and that is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. No matter how sorry you are, no matter how many times you confess, how you confess, all of those sort of things, your confession will not bring about forgiveness. There is only one thing that will bring about forgiveness, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. So thank God that He shed His blood one time 2,000 years ago. So the fact that He shed it one time means that His blood took away every one of your sins. Not just some of them, not just the ones you confessed, but every single one of them. So His blood was sufficient to take away all of your sins, and when you receive Him, you receive forgiveness for all of your sins, past, present, and future.
Yeah.
So what does 1 John 1:9 mean in light of that? Well, quite frankly, it is the answer to 1 John 1:8 and 1 John 1:10. And 1 John 1:8 says, if you say that you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. But if you will confess your sins, then he is faithful and just to have forgiven your sins and to have cleansed you of all unrighteousness. So there were people back in John's day who believed that they had never sinned. They believed that sin wasn't a part of their problem. They were just looking for that enlightened knowledge. They thought knowledge was the way unto salvation. So they believed that there was this dichotomy, there was this separation between spirit and flesh, and all they wanted to do was have to have the knowledge of the spirit. So they denied sin, and they did not think that sin was a problem. So the cross of Jesus Christ meant absolutely nothing to them. Well, what were they doing with that kind of belief system? They were deceiving themselves. So they were living a lie. Well, what's the truth? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all make that confession, don't we? That we are sinners in need of salvation. And that's exactly what John is saying there. He is extending an invitation to these folks who were enlightened but had never fully entered into the fellowship and never truly received Jesus Christ. And he said, here's the way to do it. Be truthful. Confess your sins. And when you do, you have nothing to fear, because what you're going to find out is that God is both faithful and just, and he's already done something with your sins and the fact that he forgave them through the shed blood of Jesus, and he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Yeah. So this is a passage to those that were denying sin, that had deceived themselves, and that were living a lie, and of whom John says the truth was not in them.
Yeah.
So those were lost folks. It's an invitation to them to receive the truth and be saved and enjoy fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son.
Final question, Bob, from Kurt in Detroit. He says, I think Ben Franklin made the statement, God helps those who help themselves. He says, I hear Christians and non-Christians alike quote this. Many think it comes from the Bible. What is wrong with this statement? And is it an attitude that God wants us to live by?
Well, God helps those who can't help themselves. I mean, that's our problem. We can't help ourselves on a spiritual level. We're dead in trespasses and sins. And I don't know if you've noticed, but dead men can't do anything. So for us to be saved, God is going to have to do something on our behalf. So in Jesus, God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. That's why we call it grace. It is by grace through faith that we are saved.
Yeah.
So we come to the point and recognize our own depravity. We recognize our own condition, and we trust in what God has done for us. So no, this statement is not biblical. It is not in the Bible. And it speaks more of a works mentality than a by grace through faith mentality.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, that's it for this edition of Basic Gospel. We hope you'll go online and register for the United Conference coming up day after tomorrow. It'll be our final conference for Basic Gospel, friends, and we want you to be a part of this ministry's history. So come be with us. Register now at basicgospel.net/united. And remember, it's because of you that we are here every weekday bringing the good news of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ, and your help, as we always say, is vital, and we say it because it is true. Donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, request your copy of Andrew Farley's great book called God Without Religion. It's our way of saying thank you for your support of this ministry and the message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. We would love for you to partner with us. And finally, if you have Bible questions or personal issues you'd like to post to us, leave a voicemail for us at 844-322-2742, and we'll discuss it very soon on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that's 844-322-2742.
Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again same time tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.